I think, no, let's go ahead and do the exercises first. We have time tonight. If we have to go over, we can. We won't be pushed. They don't have the next class. So. Well, yeah, I have to talk to the elders tonight, too. I got to go home for 15 minutes. So I'm better than you are then today. All right, Troxel, why don't you word our prayer?
Father, thank you for facilities that we have.
The commentary one, you know, those two books that we're supposed to get?
Yeah.
The little red one about like the Bible, some kind of a commentary.
Textual commentary.
Does that get stuff like, for instance, what is Acts 8:37 that a lot of places say aren't there?
It has several.
It has things like that.
It has about 5 pages, I think, on Mark 16, 9 through 20.
Yeah.
It has quite a few comments on Acts 8:37. It deals with
all.
Yeah, with every major disputed point, no matter how small or how large, it deals with it. Right. So up until the publication of that one book, textual criticism has been a very, very difficult field because you had to memorize, okay, see, everything's in code. For instance, Aleph represents Codex Sinaiticus. All right? Beta represents Vaticanus. D represented the Western text and the Western tradition. And then you go down into the minuscules and you go to all of the papyri and everything has a number and has a representative. Well, even if they give you the evidence in your footnote and they tell you, you don't, unless you know quite a bit about the history and what each symbol represents, you really don't have any way of making a judgment on your own. So all that does is tell you how this text was determined among the committee that selected this text. So it's invaluable.
I was just wondering if it was, you know, something that they actually just strictly deals with why what's there is there and why what's not is not.
That's right. That's
rather than a commentary like Mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's it's entirely different from those. So that's yeah. I wouldn't have you, if we were going to do that, you'd just buy one commentary on one book at a time. There are some excellent Greek commentaries. In fact, the best commentaries in the New Testament are not on the English text. They're on the Greek text. And there's a reason for that, because when you write on the Greek text, you don't bar any holes. You write with no restraints. When you write on the English text, you're writing for a different audience. You're writing and you have to tone things down. You have to gear them back down. When you write on the Greek, you don't. Just let it go. And so, anyway, that's another story. Do you want to turn that on?
Is David still on there? David?
I don't know. I'll recommend, if you want, some of the best commentaries on the Greek Testament. Well, yeah, but I mean, for later, if you want. There are some of them are conservative, some of them are liberal. Some of them have one strong point, others have, another aspect that they're stronger in. Okay. All right, let's do the exercises. Lesson 20 first. Remember that we're still talking about third declension nouns. There are 5 types of third declension nouns. In lesson 19, we talked about the liquid, the mute, and syncopated nouns. In lesson 20, we're talking about what?
Vowel
stems. In lesson 21, we'll be talking about neuter. All right. So really, they're pretty simple. If you just remember the 5, and it's a matter of mastering the endings, the forms, the inflectional forms, and that's all that there is to it. Okay, and admittedly, the inflectional forms here are quite a bit more, there's more to learn than with first and second declension. nouns. But you can be consoled in the fact that there are more second declension nouns than there are third declension nouns when you read.
Even more, in fact, there aren't any more declensions.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, take number one. Not math, moth.
By mothatai to kuriu esthiusi archon kai ikthun kai stakuas.
Stakuas. Okay. One thing we might just notice there, mothatai, what English word? Math. You see that right from that? M-A-T-H, just transliterated. Math-E-T, mathematics, math. All of that will come from that. And I think it somehow, math in English must go back to the idea of learning in some way. I'm just sure, but I don't think we talked about that when we came to the word, but when I had to correct him on the pronunciation, it just dawned on me, I'm sure that's where it came from. If you look at it, I mean, straight. Yeah, look it up. Because the only thing, it probably came from, mathematics would come from mathematikos, would be the equivalent. That would be an adjective. I don't know. But I think that there would be a relationship between that stem and the stem that math or mathematics came from. Okay. Translate, Mike.
The disciples of the Lord are eating bread and fish and ears of corn.
Okay.
Corn.
All right, you can translate it corn. That's all right.
Corn on the cob?
Yeah, it'd be fine. That's what it is. Ears of corn on the cob. I suppose if you're in the South, corn on the cob is a better translation than ears of corn. And don't forget also...
Cornbread and catfish and ears of corn?
No, I think you've turned into the Amplified Bible. The Lord's disciples, or the disciples of the Lord. The Lord's disciples is our English idiom. It's the same thing. Number two, Jane. Haliusi. Archaeorais.
Do you still read it as though they had the he on the aspirate on the yoda, right?
I see what you're saying.
With the key there, you already have it sort of. It's like archaeorais, right?
Right. And see, in modern Greek, even that key has come to have a rough H sound. Not as rough as, but yeah, that type of a sound. So, and by the way, Jane told me about that movie Iphigenia. Yeah, but it's Iphigenia, is how they were saying it. That's modern pronunciation of it.
Because they don't, their gutturals are all gone away.
Yeah, just about. So, yeah. It's if you have a chance, it'd be worth your while to see, just to be introduced to the... modern Greek pronunciation is entirely different. I say entirely different, just about, really.
Father was the same.
Pater.
She spoke to her dad.
Yeah.
Pater.
And you'll hear the word kalo, and you can hear... Now, kalo is kalos. You've had that word. Kalos. Only it's kalo. Kalos, kalo, 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 kalo. Or I guess, no, maybe it's kalos, kalu. Yeah, well, anyway, but that omicron is just pronounced just like an omega, long. So you have some changes. But anyway, it would be good. They have the English underneath it. It'd be worthwhile just for a different culture. Shock. Okay, go ahead and finish it. Grammatize?
Is it grammatize?
Grammatize. Mm-hmm.
grammatize, epiphon, tus, dulus, auton, akuline, auton. The Messiah was preaching the gospel to the fishermen and the chief priests, and the scribes were sending their servants to hear him.
Okay.
Is high priest the same as chief priest, or is that another word?
No, it's the same word.
Either translation is acceptable?
Yeah. But except for the fact that there's only one high priest, there are a number of chief priests. Context.
Okay. But it is the same word, though. That's good enough. You
yeah.
Know, you don't have to prove it. I'll believe it. We need to get finished. We never
yeah. Number three, Minerva. Where does that come from?
Ephesians
2:8-9. Really, 2:8 is where it come from. For you're saved by grace through faith.
Is that the one where it's
is the gift of God?
No, it's the other one. There's another place in 2 Corinthians where it has it. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. For we're saved by grace through faith. It goes on. It's just it's a parenthesis. Just stuck in.
For we walk by faith. That's 5. 2 Corinthians 5.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
But then it goes into something else.
Again. Yeah, that's 2 Corinthians 5. I think that's what you're thinking of.
Can I ask a question? Sure. About a sentence behind the fish ball. So on the number 2.
Yeah?
Why is preached imperfect rather than first errors?
Okay, what kind of a stem? What kind of a stem does it have?
What kind of a stem?
What's the present?
What are the principal parts, really?
Yeah, what's the present of Caruso? That's it. All right. Now, if you're going to form an aorist, what's going to happen? Look at over here. Something's going to happen. Now what happens?
You have to go to the general stem. The aorist is formed off the general verb stem.
Okay, a different stem. What's going to happen? What's the next letter?
It's caric is the stem. You need to say that.
Yeah, and then when you add the sigma,
it
becomes z. So, ekeruxa, or in this case, it would be e. Yeah. Okay, that's why. So, you have those two sigmas. That tells you that it's the imperfect. Right. And the augment. I mean, it tells you that it's the imperfect as opposed to the first aorist. So that's why I kept saying you've got to know those stems.
Yeah, that's why I was saying that I didn't want to do anything during the summer to learn all this stuff.
Okay. Number 4, Toxel.
Into Pi, Basileus.
Basileus.
King is staying by the sea, but the fishermen are staying by the sea and are staying in the seas.
Okay, or by the side of the sea.
Right.
And I don't know if I ever told you this in class. Luke uses a different word for lake. And there is a different word.
He told us the seamen. Thalassa meant lots of work.
But Thalassa also means sea as Sea of Galilee. Right. It's used. Matthew and Mark use that. But Luke uses a different word. All right.
Did you translate it, our staying again? How did you translate the last part of the sentence?
Well, I just put, but the fisherman by the side of the sea.
It sounds funny.
Because...
Yeah, it's actually what it means, but it didn't very smooth as all.
Well, if you read it quickly, the king remains in the city, but the fisherman by the side of the sea...
Try faster.
I mean, I don't have any problem carrying that verb over, implied... But you can put it. It's definitely there. But I would bracket it.
Yeah. That's...
Okay. Number 5. Minerva. Ekai, not exai. or a no.
God has the power of judgment of the world and
heaven. Okay. Now here, power, dunamis, the sense is God has power. Power would be fine. But another word that would be good to translate, God has the right of judgment. God has the authority. Now there's another word that's generally thought of as being authority, exousia. You don't need to know that right now. But this has, in this sentence, that same meaning. That's the sense of the word.
It comes across in English too. The Latin potens is Latin powerful.
Okay, potentate.
But
that comes from the Greek.
The potential, impotent, all those words without power.
Yeah.
But still has the right to omnipotent, having all power. That means having all right as well, right? When you have the power, you've got the right to do something.
Right.
It goes together.
Yeah. Luke's word is lemne. I thought that was it, but I hate to say it and not be absolutely sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Luke's word for lake. All right, but anyway, that's... I just wanted to look that up. No, you're right. And even in the Greek, there's a word, the word that we translate potentate, our English potentate, and I'm sure the Latin comes from the Greek. Sometimes master is, what's the exact form? It's used, for instance, let me think. Well, it's used several times in Scripture. It's used once in Acts, once or twice in Acts. It's used a couple of times in Luke. Luke likes the word. Okay, I'll find it here in a minute. Let me just look it up. While you keep translating, I'll do two things. Number six, Jane.
Or hieron, gnosticy, kondomon, alibu, gnosticy, karin, kai, pisman.
Okay.
The priests know the law, but do not know grace and faith.
Okay. How would you translate that if it read, u gnoskosin, ten karin, kai, tain piston. Suppose I put, the only thing different, I just put definite articles in there. And I put a movable new on gnoskosi, just for kicks. Okay, why? Okay, that's right. That's the only thing I wanted you to see. And remember that very frequently, these nouns, karin, pistis, This group, in the third declension, these feminine are almost all abstracts. Alright? So just expect to see that. A lot of times you'll have the definite article, but you will not translate it. Number seven, troxel.
Isn't it the difference? So if they were adjectives, because then if it was the faithful, it would be the faithful people, it wouldn't mean faithful. Ente anastasi tu Christu, alabamen zoein kai arene. By the resurrection of Christ, we receive life and peace.
Okay. You could translate that in, but by is a better translation.
I took by because it seemed to be called.
Yeah, it seems to be means. Number eight. I'm looking at a word here. Stasis. I don't know. I guess not. Mike, take that.
Stasis in te ecclesia esti kake. Dissension in the church.
Okay. Amen. 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 Just say it in Greek. Number nine. Minerva? To Ryu.
Okay. The good king is seeing the day of
war. Okay, now read that Greek to me quickly.
Abasalus ha agathos lephi tain himeron to kuru.
Read it one more time, faster. Okay, good. Number 10. Well, it's a diphthong.
It's just as though it were you. It's not, I mean, you don't.
Well, you diphthong. Epsilon, epsilon.
Yeah. It's just that, that's the only way. Just like altas. Well, and maybe you pronounce both of those.
Pneuma is one.
Yeah, pneuma. Well, I'm just thinking of any diphthong when you have that type of.
That's not epsilon for sure, we've seen before, pneuma.
Yeah, that's right. That's just the way they pronounced it. It flows together. Gnosku si. There, it's almost just one sound. U.
Some are two. Separated.
Pardon?
Alpha yoda almost goes into two. So does eta. Eta yoda almost for sure does. Eta, or eta with the yoda subscript.
Oh, now, yeah, that is. Well, now that's one. A.
A. It's almost A-E, almost. It's almost two sounds.
So it's just some of them are more distant, but that's all. Okay, take number 10, Jane.
You will receive power from God and be his disciples.
Okay. I remembered where this was, and I was wrong. I was thinking of despot. Despota is the Greek. Acts 4. But it seems to me that potentate comes from the Greek too. And I've seen that recently reading somewhere in the Greek Testament. I can't put my finger on
it. Latin word too. It seems also close to
I'm sure that all of that... but anyway, despota is what I was thinking of. Like that's Acts 4:24. The prayer there when the apostles are released, but that's kind of aside from the point. Let's go ahead and go on and do these, and then if you have any questions on this lesson, we'll try and answer them and go on and do some work on the next lesson. Number one, I want you to read the Greek and then give me your English translation. Troxel? I mean, no, just read me the Greek.
Good. I can't do English translation. Poi archirais, kai poi ganatais, exelthon et tu hieru, akuan ton kurion.
Okay. Poi archirais, kai poi grammatais, exelthon et tu hieru, akuan ton kurion. Everybody have that? Superb. Number two, Jane. Just think of holly oops. Okay, now, let's look at this a minute. To the fisherman, men, you're right. I copied man. Okay.
Let's not look at it a minute.
All right. Stand corrected. Now, on that though, is that the right form? Yes, they became something, but that's a predicate.
It's just a predicate complement, nominative complement.
Yeah, would it be a predicate nominative or adjective?
Neither.
They became.
Because you can only have those instead of being verbs, and becomes that instead of being verbs.
Well, yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's a nominative complement and a predicate, but that's really all you can say.
Okay, but it does take the nominative, you're right. Now, Let me, yeah. Okay. Holly ice. Toys Holly ice should be the ending. Remember, that's the dative plural. I told you last week, this is the only way that it occurs in the New Testament. Okay, now, remember I told you a long time ago, when you have someone saying something to someone else, that I wanted you to translate it with the dative when you're writing the Greek. Now, because I told you that, yes, it's wrong. But in the Greek Testament, very, very frequently, they use pros. Ipe pros alton. He said to him, and then he says something, you know. But I've seen that more and more, and it's not at all unusual. But I think that that's somewhat of an accommodation. It's probably what's happened is it's somebody started it, and it seemed easy to remember to him. And so they just picked it up, and by the time the New Testament was being used. That would be my guess, because you have before the prepositions are coming in, and by the time the New Testament, you have quite a few prepositions used. And now you have a lot of prepositions used in modern Greek. Before, you didn't have as many.
We didn't even learn all the common ones of that time, though.
All the what?
All the common ones of the first century.
Well, you've learned all the real common ones.
Like amphi, or both, or between, or whatever it means. Whatever.
Yeah, but those aren't nearly, you won't have very those come up very frequently. You've learned most of them. All of the ones that will occur 50 times or more, you've learned. So, okay, but that should be the form, and maybe that will answer your question too.
Well,
not this, but the other.
Well, the other question I had was on the Agamemnon on hard mouth of face. You were talking about that taking the nominative. Does it or does it not?
Yes, it should take the nominative. The last part should be, and they became. What form did you use for genomai, Jane? Kai haliais, kai ege, what did you have? Okay. You used a passive form. It has a middle form, deponent. Now, it also has a passive form.
I use that form too.
All right. Well, you could use the middle form. Yeah. That's what I used. I think, didn't Summers tell you that this was one of the ones that had two?
He used it in the last ones. That's the ones he used. Yeah.
Sometimes eganomain and sometimes eganathane. And it should be, both forms should be translated, I became. All right, so whichever one you want. If you want to use the passive form, that's fine. If you want to use the middle form, that's fine.
And you just said it should be four months of time instead of just months of time. That's
yes. Well, that's just the idiom. Yeah. And so...
It seems to me there's a substantive difference between putting it in non.
Well, that... But that's the way you'll see it.
What was the other form? So,
it would be the passive. Here's the passive. Since it's third person plural, eganathison. Now, if you want, Mike, that's back on page 74. Okay, that's the form you had, isn't it? Okay. That's the correct form. Number three. I'm lost. Whose turn it is now? So, okay, Troctel.
Poem of Patan, Aestheon, Stakulos, Kaihoi, Kiraz, Atusaidon.
Hoimathe Tai Aestheon. Okay, that's kind of a tricky thing.
But it's going to be worried to imperfect of.
Right.
That's the only word we don't know Fagla yet.
No.
Whatever it is. We don't know Ligurian form. We don't know the present tense of it.
Okay. Now, eating corn. Okay. Yeah, you put the plural.
Yeah, eating corns. Eating ears of corn. I interpreted corn as ears of corn instead of all the same ear.
Okay. I had singular. Eating corn. Because oftentimes the singular is looked at as a collective.
Yeah.
Yeah, so either way, all right.
Can I hold your eyes? Out two side.
All right. Remember, eidon is that funny verb. It's funny from the standpoint of form.
It's not yours.
It's not yours. All
right, yeah. Number four.
Should eidon, does this make any difference? Or like you said, altus eidon. Would it make any difference if it was eidon altus?
No. He's just, if you see altus eidon, you would have a little bit different emphasis.
Yeah.
And you might note that. A lot of times that's important. They're very subtle inferences. So
it's not desperately important, but it's a thing that really it makes the whole fun of anything. It's just the real subtle shadings.
Sure, that's the beauty.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to get. I mean, if you're not interested in those points, then you're wasting your time studying Greek, in effect, because you get that from the English. Some things you couldn't, that are even a lot more obvious than the subtleties, but. That's the subtleties are where the riches are. Number four, Jane.
I've changed it so many times, I'm not sure I can read it, but this is how I think it goes. Kai kaptechnon ton pyron anthropon.
Okay, I put a masculine article with a feminine noun.
Good.
All right, kai ta techna, even the children. Make sure you have that ta techna, neuter plural. Even the children, and now have, you could have a plural, but generally it will have a singular. So ekai, or you could have ekusin. And then the rest is fine. Tain nosin, tais karitas tu theu in tais kardiais auton.
In tais auton kardiais.
Okay, yeah, if you want to do that.
What was the verb?
Karitas?
Karitas.
Pardon the verb? Karitas. Karis, karitas.
Karin.
What are the plurals?
Cartes, cartone.
Now, remember the dative plural is funny.
Cartasi,
No.
Carisi. Cartas.
Right. Okay. That dative plural is the one that generally throws you. I'll tell you about that next lesson, what happened to me with the dative plural. But. anyway. Number five. Mike. Pisteos. Okay. What's your first verb?
Ekatharisis.
That's a passive, isn't it?
You were
Is it a, is an aorist? You were cleansed. Sounds like it should probably be an aorist.
Yeah.
Instead of
you were being cleansed.
If you were, yeah, you were being cleansed would be what, Mike? Yeah. If it was translated, you were being cleansed, what would it be? An aorist or an
imperfect?
Imperfect. That's what it would be, an imperfect. But you were cleansed as an aorist. So, this is the verb. All right? So now let's take the aorist. It's got to be passive. Now remember, you're going to a different stem. All right? You were cleansed from your sins. Probably this is plural. It makes sense. Now, you can, yeah, you can make it singular, but if you make it singular, let's keep it consistently singular. Here, what happens? If it's an aorist passive, theta, eta. Now, the only thing you have to remember, what's that ending for second person plural? Pardon?
And if it's singular, you step up singular, right? If you didn't do it in singular.
Oh, okay.
Just try
okay, what is it? You tell me. Yes. Ain ace a, amen ate he asin. Okay? All right. Thanes they stay. I was dropping the second aorist would be ain ace a. But I was just being, since we weren't counting that.
All right. Tense indicator, it's a part of the stem. It shows the first aorist stem.
Well, yeah, actually the stem, you don't look at that as the stem though. This is what you're looking at in terms of a stem, and then that's the tense indicator, really, and that's the ending.
Otherwise, it's characteristics apartum hamartiansi.
Right.
Hamartiansi.
And make sure, Mike, when you're pronouncing, now like in this case, remember, and you know this, the iota omega is not a diphthong. So make sure that you pronounce it hamartion, not, don't just say hamartone. It's eon. Yeah, don't.
There's no diphthong starts with a iota.
No. There's one that begins with a upsilon. Upsilon iota. Hui.
There's a precedence that seems to be applied to the nouns. I mean, to the vowels. So which ones can take a second vowel?
That's correct. Okay, number six.
Before we go, not to belabor the point, back on question three.
Okay.
But this stuff like this, you know, that I just completely don't understand why it wouldn't be this way if it's not, all right? Now, the way the ending, what I've got is chi, hoi, hi, rise.
Here rise. Here rise.
Here rise, item, altus, okay?
Yes.
Now, if it was hoi, hirais altus idon, why would it not be translated and their priests saw them? Because that would be the priests of
Wait a minute. Let's let him figure it out, Troxel. Okay, think back. Altos. Here are the forms in the plural. Now, I want you to think back. Look at altos. All right, go to the plural forms. What are they? I'm giving them to you. All right. Altoi, altone. What's this? Altus. I should have given you all of them, I guess. All right. Now, which one means... What does this first one mean? Translate that. Just that one word.
They.
Okay? Them is accusative. It's the object. They is the subject.
They, are
them. Of them, in them, them. The object. So, look at it here in the sentence. The disciples were eating corn and the priests saw of them, saw them. Okay? That's why, again, we're coming back. You've got to remember these endings. And that goes all the way back there to the function of each case. And that's the key right there. Okay? All right, next one. Minerva, number 6. Okay, now I have heard. How did you translate that? Ekusa? I have heard. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Ekusa tain parabolain peri. And now what do you have? Tase, chrysaos, okay? Now you use chi, or you could use de, and make sure it's postpositive. What's the verb though? I received. Okay, what's another possibility? Yeah, or you could put, I put decomai as a passive here. Edekthein, de, tain, alethion. Remember alethion? There's the one, that's the one with the exception. Not alethion, but alethion. Alethias, but alethion. Okay, it's accusative. I received its truth, so then autes. Autes is feminine, referring back to what? Right. So that's why, and that's why it has to be feminine. Into my heart. Eistein, cardian, mu, no accent on mu. If you put a mu, then you have to accent it. But just mu, no need.
But received in the passive. You're saying in the imperfect it has both the middle and passive defined forms? I mean, in the aorist it has both middle and passive defined forms? When do we know we can do that? Or is there any way we know?
Look in the back. You just have to look it up. Of course.
I'm going to see if the third form is.
Right.
If the third part is middle and the sixth part is there, then you're both.
Yeah, if you go back, that's right. If your aorist is a middle and not an active, if your first aorist.
And if there is an aorist passive.
Yes.
Yeah, then you have both forms.
Then you don't have any worry.
When you have both forms, then you can use either.
Right.
Okay.
That's when I say you don't have any worry, that's what I'm saying.
True.
Okay, you won't have any problem again. This is the last lesson you ever have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So from now on, it's just recognition, which is quite a bit easier. Number 7. Okay.
Stasi to Christu, apathanatu, and dunamis to patros, doxazitai.
All right. Yeah. Inte anastasi to Christu, apath. Thanatu. Okay, right there. Does everybody have that right? Hey, dunamis. Okay, you realize that that whole first clause was an introductory clause. And dunamis is the subject of the sentence. So it's got to be in the nominative case. That's why you have that. I'm glad everybody got that right. I wondered when I did it. Number 8, Jane. Okay. There's not anything very difficult about this particular sentence. Habasulus krenai tus dulus autu al esmen or esmen de as you have hupa tain dunamen tu kariu. Number 9, Minerva. That way you haven't had time to practice.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's not that. I copied the English
Oh, well, I do that every once in a while. Okay, Mike, take number 9, and then we'll give Minerva number 10.
In to nomo ergetai he gnosis tes dunamius.
Dunameos.
What?
Dunameos.
Dunameos. Yeah, dunameos. Hamartias.
Okay, or tes hamartias. Remember, dunamis, and here's that exception. Dunameos. Don't say dunameos. It's dunameos. And say that out loud. If you say that enough times out loud, you'll never miss it. As long as you think it in your mind. Minerva number 10. Okay, stasis what? Was imperfect. The kind of verb that tends to escape you, but it's one that you just have to have mastered. Yeah, that's what? Why what? Sometimes you talk fast, Trox, and sometimes I think it's a good thing.
He said it's gross, that's why it's on 144.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway, make sure that will give you a bird's eye view of all of it. Make sure that you get that. I think everything else was fine. Any questions less than 20? Less than 21. First, the vocabulary. Bathos, bathus, depth. Bathos in English, which is a change from the exalted to the trite. That's a term you would find in literature. If you're talking about when somebody's been writing about an elevated subject and all of a sudden they come down to the common mundane affairs of life.
Bathos cave is a ship that went down into the deepest part of the ocean.
Okay, yeah. And just recently there was an article, get off, on the continental shelf, National Geographic, you saw that, yeah. Okay, genos.
Probably bath. You think bath comes from it too?
I think it comes from the same stem. I looked it up, and I looked at Webster's Unabridged, and it didn't have the origin of bath. It only traced it to Middle English.
You might get your big dictionary.
It's Unabridged, but I'm going to have to get Oxford, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Genos, genus, race, which is akin to genus, G-E-N-U-S, all right, term you would find in biology and,
Science.
Yeah, all kinds of courses in different literature.
Genocide, that's the word?
Killing
a race.
Yeah, that's right, it'd be the same thing. Hitler's World War II with the Jews. 21 times it occurs in the New Testament. Ethnos, ethnos, nation, ethnology, ethnics.
Ethnocentric?
Yeah, all of the words, and so many words that are in vogue, especially in the 70s. Yeah. Used 151 to 200 times in the New Testament. Yes, in the plural, he gives you a footnote. Ethna is Gentiles. The Hebrews have goyim. Is Gentiles, nations, is again, same thing. Ethos, ethos, just lacking a new. Used 12 times in the New Testament, means customs, ethics is derived from it. So custom becomes an ethic, an ethical standard. Eleos, eleus, 26 to 27 times, one of the two. Meaning mercy is a neuter noun. Eleemosynary. Eleemosynary.
We guessed it before class. We were guessing that did in fact come from it.
Yeah. Alms. Okay? That's the idea. Mercy, alms. Aras, Arus, mountain, 61 to 70 times, and you can almost rest assured when you have a term like this that you're going to put logos on the end and you'll have a term in modern science. So it is orology, the science of studying mountains, the scientific study of mountains, orology. Aras, logos, orology. Skatas, skatus, 30 to 31 times, meaning darkness, skatoscope. If any of you have ever read war novels, you probably have come across that word somewhere. A field glass that you look through, that you can see in the night. When I was a boy, I thought that would be so neat to have a skatoscope. Yeah.
There's no functional difference between skatos and skatia.
No. Two different genders.
Yeah, some writers use one more and some use the other.
Well, probably they would use... Yeah, maybe they would.
Is there a difference in emphasis between them?
No, not that I know of. And I'm almost positive not in the New Testament. It'd be interesting just to see why they have a neuter and a feminine. Telos, telus, 38 to 41 times. End.
Teleology.
Yeah. That's you know what teleology is? Okay, you haven't had philosophy.
That was a medical science.
Pardon?
That was a medical science.
Okay, and medical science too.
The study of ants.
All right, well, it's also a term...
That was a joke.
Oh. A little dense, all right. In French today, we're talking about... There's an old French saying about peacocks, how stuck up they are, their pride. And so when the male struts, he sticks up his tail. He can see his end. There's a little play. That's literal. Well, anyway.
Does it mean purpose? Tell us his purpose?
Well, it means end. I don't think it really doesn't mean purpose. There's a different word for purpose. Boule. Will or purpose. Desire. This has simply the idea in the New Testament, maturity is sometimes denoted by this word. Telos, all things are perfect or complete, and it will be a form of telos. For instance, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part, and I'm pretty sure that the perfect there is telos. Let me check it. Be verse 8. Or verse 9. Yeah, teleion. There it is. Same idea. So when that which is perfect, the end, when it's been consummated, is the idea.
Does it mean end like consummation then?
Yes. And teleology in philosophy deals with, in the definition, if you look it up in a dictionary, the view that developments are due to the purpose or designed end that is served by them. Purpose is involved.
Yeah. But it's purpose towards.
Yes, and the emphasis is on the final product.
Yeah, the main,
right.
The
okay.
The same one that we used in Matthew when they were asking about the end of the age, the end of the world.
Well, now there, you're talking about Matthew 24, that's in verse 3, when they asked the question.
No, because you said consolation, the witnesses translated the consolation of the present system of things.
Well, the disciples just asked, when shall these things be? That's all they ask. And what the sign of your coming? Okay, now yes, it does use this term, but it's in a compound. You see it, Troxel?
Yeah.
Look at the end of verse 3.
Sintelias.
Yeah. Sintelias to Ionas.
You're coming together. Oh, it's consummation. Consummation has con.
Consummation of the age is, if you understand consummation, not in the sense that they probably are going to translate. They would probably...
Well, they have the consummation of the either this system of things or this present system.
Yeah.
Centralia is exactly cognate with, or is exactly analogous to constellation. Summa is the most, it's the end, right? It's the farthest it can be, and consummation.
Con, yeah, is with, Latin for with. Yeah, soon. So, yeah, that's right. That's a good translation. Because just Greek, Latin to English. Same meaning. Okay. The next one. Haima, haimatos, blood, 91 to 100 times. Anemia, without blood. Yeah, or hemoglobin. All of the words, that, and you hear them all the time.
We're not using it in English anymore. It's just H-E-M-O, but it used to be H-A-E-M-O, but they would always spell it. Like hematology is H-A-E-M-O with the A diphthong.
Okay.
From the A-I diphthong.
Yeah, and you can, generally, if you look it up in a large dictionary, they give both forms.
Mm-hmm. You can see the cognates, I mean the diphthong.
Yeah.
From the diphthong in Greek.
Just been simplified some. Thelema. Thelematos, will, 61 to 70 times. Important, this term has been in church history again. Monothelite, mana, from manas, only, thelite, thelema, only will, one will. One who holds that Christ had but one will, and that was the divine. It was a denial of his human side. Said that he was only divine. Did not have the human. So that was condemned by the Sixth General Council, 8680. So by Catholicism, condemned it. Anima, anamatas, 201 to 500 times, means name. Onomatopoeia. I don't know why. I've always had a hard time saying that word. Yeah. I practiced one time trying to say that word before a sermon. Because all it means is to form a word in imitation of a sound. Ba, ba, sheep.
Yeah.
And
Bo.
There, pardon?
Murmur,
yeah. All kinds of words.
The word
buzz.
Does this word mean its sound is its name? That's what you're saying, right? Its sound is its name?
Yes.
Murmur is the name of the sound.
Right.
Murmur.
So, there's the idea. If you go back, let's see. We'll look at 1 Corinthians. If you want, just look at 1 Corinthians 10 and look at the word there for murmur.
Oh, I bet it's murmur or something like that.
Yeah. It's. I remember that it was very striking.
Yeah,
let's see. Yeah, there it is. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, just as some of them murmured. This is verse 10. Mede gangusete. Gangu. Gugu. murmur. Well, I'll never forget reading that. Mede gangusete kathaper tines auton e gangusan. Alright? But it's gugu again in English. That's the idea. So, murmur. Pneumatos, 201 to 500 times. By the way, when you're exegeting the Greek New Testament, do not take for granted a word that you know as having no significance beyond the simple one-word translation that you know, such as onoma. You say, well, I know that means name, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. You know, and you see, anamatas to Christu, Yesu, into the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I guess it'd be accusative. Eis, anima, and then the genitive of Jesus Christ or of Christ Jesus. But that anima, look it up, because in this particular instance, name signifies not only identity, but it signifies everything of that nature, everything that that character represents and stands for. And it has a much broader meaning, and there's a lot more depth than simply saying name and saying, well, I understand it. No, you don't. So even what I'm trying to tell you is even words that you understand and that you know can be very significant.
Partly because the distinction distinction between the object and the name of the object has been broadened in the course of time, too.
That's right.
I'm reading a book on alphabets by Goody's typeface designer. Designed Goody Oldface, if you recognize Goody Oldstyle. But it's been a typeface. But he's talking about that Aleph is the name of ox.
Okay. And Beth is house.
Beth is house. But he says that all those Phoenician letters came from...
Okay, that's Hebrew.
Well, or Phoenician.
Maybe. Or Phoenician, yeah.
Or Aramaic, all those things. But
same family.
Same family. But the name of an ox was Aleph. That meant ox. And the way they spelled it started with this thing. And they eventually took that thing and called it Aleph. That was really just that was the name of a thing that represented
mm-hmm.
the concept of ox. But it seemed like the concept and the spelling, the concept and the name were tied all together. They didn't. The distinction was very closely bound.
Just okay.
Like, you can see that too. I guess all the reasons why people's names changed.
Abraham
before, but now you're Abraham. Just a change of state name, a change of name. And
right.
It wasn't just let's change your name, but it's time to change your name.
That's right. There's and the other problem that we have, and this is so important, and let me tell you, this is something that you can set as a goal, and if you ever make it, you will be one of the very, very few people that ever reach this level, and that is to quit thinking like an American living in the 20th century who knows English, and to think like a Greek who lived in the first century who's reading this as if no one has ever laid eyes on it in his life. And that's the perspective. You see, we say name, and it means something entirely different to us than it did to the Jew that read Matthew's gospel.
Or any person of the first century.
Yeah, even a Gentile, but especially a Jew, just because of the Old Testament background, the significance of name. All right, so what I'm saying is, again, this is exegesis, but these are hints. You have to, in some way, try to transport yourself back 20 centuries, all the way back, and to read it, and to never forget that when you read it with the idea in mind that no one has ever read it before you, that you have never seen it in your life, even though you read it yesterday. Never read Scripture as if you've read it before. Never.
If it comes out in King James, it won't work, right?
No, that's right. You just throw the King James away. Don't, but you understand what I'm saying. But even when you read the English Bible, same thing. Just forget what you've read before, and you read it just like you're starting over. Okay, that's all off. Rhema, rhematos, word. 61 to 70 times, rhetoric comes from a cognate. Stoma, stoma, stomatos, mouth. What's English? Look at it. Well,
when Kelly was calling this out to me in the car yesterday, she said mouth. I said stomata. She says stomata. Turns out that's the name of the pores on the bottom side of a leaf where they soak in oxygen and water, or carbon dioxide, whatever they do.
Okay, but there's also another English derivative that
stomach. Probably.
Stomach. Yeah, that's right. Stomach. Soma, somatos, body. 121 to 150 times. Somatic. Psychosomatic. I used to accuse my sister of having that every time there was work. Yeah. Oh, I don't feel good. Okay. Hudor, hudatas, water, hydrophobia, dropsy. That you read about in the New Testament is a shortened form. It used to be hydropsy. That's a disease. It's mentioned in Luke, probably in all the Gospels. It's an abnormal accumulation of serous fluid.
Serous?
Yeah, serous.
Blood.
And, pardon?
Serous is blood.
Well, no, I don't really know.
There's another name for it. Edema? It's the same thing? You know what it is? Edema.
Yeah.
Well,
edema is going to come from blood. I don't think so, but you can check that. Okay, look at the lesson now. Grammatical study. The nouns in the first column are all S-stem nouns. And they're all neuter. Okay? They will all end in the same way. Guinness, here's an example. There are the original forms given in the forms used in the New Testament. Just forget about the originals. They're nice to have. They're interesting. But don't worry about them. So it's Guinness, 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 Guinone. Excuse me. Guinness, Guinness. The stem is Guinness. Guinness, I mean, not Guinness. And there were some changes, but again, you can go into changes. That's for a later course. Right now, just master the forms. That's enough to worry about. Second group is the group of ma or ot stems. I think of them as ma. I guess they're not properly, don't all fall into that category. Most of them seem to. You look at like thelema, strike off in the genitive singular, strike off the os, omicron sigma, and you have the stem, thelemat. Then you add the endings to the stem, and you've got it made. However, note in the nominative and in the accusative singular, you have short forms. Now, let me see. It's also good to note that the nominative, accusative, and vocative are alike in the plural and in the singular. Okay, so that makes it simpler.
Short form in the nominative, you mean short alpha form, is that what he's saying?
Well, right. Well, it's short because, see, you drop the tau. So it's even shorter than the stem itself.
Yeah, it's not so much in the accusative singular.
Right.
That's what you might expect.
Now, there are only certain, there are reasons for this. Let me just touch on them. You don't have to know this, but it will help perhaps for you to understand. There are only a couple of consonants that can stand at the end of a Greek word. Stand at the end of it. Now, those in particular are nu, rho, and sigma. When I say sigma, I'm including z and c. Okay? All other consonants are dropped if they come at the end of a word. So, look at also, pardon?
Excuse me, I thought you were at the end of a train of thought. Go ahead and then I'll ask.
Okay, look at the dative plural of soma, somasi. Now, I had to learn for my first year Greek, onoma. And this is where we finished the first semester, right here at this point of our study. And that was the question. I missed that form. I was trying to get 100, and I missed that dative plural. It made me so mad. So don't you miss it. Now, you're warned.
10 points off, I missed that word. Right?
Yeah. No, I don't know why, but I had a mental block. So, soma, somata, somati, soma. Somata, somaton, somasi, somata. It's not very hard at all, because so many of the forms are the same, and really, you've already learned everything that you need to learn. Now it's just shifting a little bit.
Let's go into the Greek one, because it's a lesson
tonight. All right, do you want to? We could do it.
On these, do these all run like this? You know, it says that if you, well, like in the ox stem now, if you strike the OS off of the genitive singular, you have the stem.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like that it, well, it seems to me like it would be easier, is it like on soma?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than remembering the soma for the stem.
Just remember soma?
If you just remember, well, either soma or just so, and you'd have aposati.
Well, all right.
Do they all go that way?
Yes. And the only reason it's being correct, it's better. But I'll tell you what, right now, Mike, I wouldn't try and remember it like that. I'd just try and remember soma, somatas. In other words, I wouldn't, at this point, it's not necessary for you to know anything more than to be able to recognize the stem. And the only reason the only time it's going to be important for you to tear a word apart that's a noun. Now, a verb is a different story. But a noun, the only time that's important is maybe to look for a root, to get a basic meaning. If you don't know the word and you're reading along and you here's a word and you say, what does that mean? And you all of a sudden you see a stem in there that you know. Well, see, that's a giveaway. That might be one means, and the other means would just be for the sake of grammar. And you don't need to worry about it for the sake of grammar. That's too much to be concerned with. Jane, you had a question?
No, but I don't. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. And really, that's all. This is real simple. This was a breeze, this last little lesson. Next week, I'm going to bring your test for these three lessons. We'll just go ahead and take a test over these. And then the next week, I want you to have lesson 21 done, and I want you to go ahead and start 22. I want you to have the vocabulary done and to read the lesson over. This is the hardest thing in Greek, the participle.
I suppose the prepositions were.
Well, to memorize, but to comprehend the participle. It's not hard, but it takes a while. Yeah, it just takes it a while for the idiom to soak through. So after you get the idiom, then you're fine. You know, but participles are so important because the New Testament's so full of them.
That's what I mainly can't read. Trying to read 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah.
I got we're making mention of you constantly in our prayers.
Yeah.
Verse 3. That's as far as I get, and that's where that's like a bug down there was in
okay.
Participles.
And yeah.
You can tell what they are, but it's not enough.
So these. What I'm telling you is you'll need to set some time apart, maybe a little extra time for a week or two, and just an extra hour to make sure. Now, you might go right through it and never have any trouble, but I talked to a young man the other day. He's as old as I am or older, but that's a young man. He's had 4 years of Hebrew and 3 or 4 years of Greek, and his comment was, that the hardest thing for him in Greek was the participle.
It may be just a matter of getting your mindset right, though.
It seems
like they're like in German, you can use prepositional phrases like a participle, like in front of the window standing. That's a prepositional phrase, but or it's a participial phrase. But you can use an adjective, the in front of the window standing girl.
Yeah. Well, you can do the same thing in Greek.
Yeah. Maybe just the American getting your brain set the right way for it.
Well, that's right. And it's just that it has a number of different usages. It can be used as a finite verb. It can be used as a noun. It can be used as a verb. Infinite verb. Or, as I said, as a noun. It can be used in a number of ways. I think it can be used, I'm just trying to think of an example of an adjective. It can almost stand just as a clause if it's the articular use. So the one who was loosing.
Yeah, we've seen that.
See, that's. Well, anyway, what I'm just be prepared. Let's go back and review just a little bit. Let me tell you what I'm planning on too while we're talking. We'll take.
What's for next week?
Okay, next week you're to have the vocabulary and lesson 22. And your exercises for 21. And be prepared to take your test. Then you'll take your test. Now that gives you, let me say this, you don't have very many exercises this next week. So be prepared to take your test when you come to class Monday night. Now you won't have to. I'm not going to ask you to take it in class. But be prepared. And I'll tell you why. That way it will give you the extra time to spend on the participles. And I'll tell you what else I want to do. I want to take present participles 1 week. That's lesson 22. And then I want us to take in 1 week lessons 23 and 24. You don't have very much vocabulary. The only thing will be forms. And when you memorize the present, it won't be hard to get the forms. And once you get over the 1 week of participles, it won't be anything. Then we'll have another test. So it'll only be 2 weeks and then another test, just over participles. What I'm doing is, if I break it up like this, it's easier on you. There's not as much for you to digest.
We're learning functional units, too.
Yeah. And then we'll get started. When we get to lesson 25,
then it becomes, you're almost to the end. When you get to lesson 29, 30, really. Well, no, you've got to go to 31. Well, 31, if when you get to 31, you'll have covered essentially everything. 32 and 33 are beginning to give you a little more depth on certain areas that you need help. So we'll almost be there. But then we'll just have to work 25 and following out as we go. But that's the plan that I've worked out. So let's go back. We've got 10 minutes and review a little bit on these third declension. I'll help you study for the test. Let's go over the endings. I suppose that would be the best thing to do. There are five different kinds of third declension nouns. What are they? Liquid, mute, syncopated, vowel, neuter. Okay. The liquids are easy. What are the liquids? What, just give me the four consonants that are liquids. Right. Mutes are a little bit more difficult. We've got three categories of mutes.
Dental.
Dental.
Labial.
Labial.
Guttural.
Guttural or palatal. Whichever you prefer. Yeah. The soft palate. Okay. When you have the liquid stem, such as an ion, is the example that we have in our books. Ion, ionas. Remember, on third declension nouns, it's the genitive form, that's why you've been learning them, that gives you the cue to the stem, not the nominative. Now, in this case, the nominative is the stem, but that's simply by coincidence. So, in these, the only thing that you'll have trouble with, perhaps, I hope, will be the dative, the third inflectional form plural. And it's almost always the same. It's at C. Somehow they get that IOC in there. Or onomasi. You know, something. You get that C in there because of contraction. So remember that. And if you've got that, the rest is pretty easy. Ion, ionas, ioni, iona, ion. All right, what's the plural? Ionis, ionon.
IOC.
IOC, okay.
Ionas.
Ionas. There's nothing to it. That ionas, when you think of that os, that's the same thing as what? Feminine. First declension, plural, accusative ending. That's all it is.
You can't do that. You have to pull this one from here and this one from there.
Yeah, okay. Well, you'll get it. I mean, when you studied and when you're ready to take the test, you'll be doing the same thing.
This is the first time I've ever got an ending that looks this, where we have the same ending for a verb or a noun. The contraction of a nucal to omicron nucal into omicron upsilon.
Yeah,
usi.
Yeah, but you won't have any problem. And once, especially in context.
Yeah, it has been easier.
Yeah. Elpis, remember the difference between elpis in the accusative singular and charis. There's that little rule, elpidos charin. How do you know when one ends in delta and when the other ends in nu, charin, as opposed to...
If it ends in a dental preceded by upsilon or iota and it's not accented on the ultima, then you use the nu. You drop the stem vowel and add the end.
Oh, well, we won't hold into that. That's great, Cocktail. Pater is your syncopated. Nukes is an example of your monosyllabic.
They didn't give all three classes of mute stems in there. They only get two. They're all dental, in fact. All three of those are. No, there's one guttural, two dental. Are there labial stems also? There aren't any words that we've learned yet at all.
No. Not that you have to worry about... For all practical purposes, no.
Guttals and dentals are all for mute stems.
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me think for a minute.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
There's no work with the labial and its stem.
P beta phi. That's what you're talking about.
That seems kind of unusual. I didn't expect to be anything that didn't have. At least one of
those. Well, there probably is.
It's strange that when he gave us three examples, but that they didn't...
didn't give that. The one thing I would criticize, he gives the same forms in the back of the book as he does in the...
Yeah,
that's dumb to just repeat them to me. But, I mean, it's really a good text, but that's one criticism I have of it. He doesn't have one in the back. I'm sure there is, Troxel. But I won't ask you to give me anything that you don't have. Probably on these, I'll ask you some of the nouns straight off of here. Some of them I will differ. I'll mix them. In other words, I'm not just going to ask you to decline ion, charis, pater.
But I think it was all three dental stems. There are all three of those examples are dental stems.
Yeah. And you don't even have
We have sarx, which is a sarcos, which is a guttural.
Okay,
And presumably it's the same. But
the same?
Yeah.
Is it so sarcos, sarki, sarcone? Yeah, it is. We looked those up in Romans. Okay. Yeah, sarkis, sarcone, sarxi, sarxi then, right? In the plural. And then sarcos. Sarcos.
Sarxi, the dative plural.
Sarxi?
Sarxi.
How come it's not nuptasi then?
Pardon?
How come it's not nuptasi?
No, you're right. It's sargzi. That's right. It's monosyllabic. Mm-hmm. If you had one that wasn't monosyllabic, it would be issi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's the other thing. Remember, nukes. Nukes, nuktas, nukti, nukta.
But it's still dental.
Nukes.
The same example.
Yeah.
Except the accents are different. Why do you think, I see. He gave us one that has that's the normal case, the most prevalent case. Then he gave us one that has the strange rule for the accusative singular.
For the accusative singular. And then he gives you the monosyllabic. Yeah. And I think the reason that he didn't go any farther is because you just too many forms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's limiting it.
I think you just completely ignored everything you just said. But did you just say that the palmolabial and dental forms are all exactly the same?
They would end the same. They're mutes.
That's what I mean. They
yes.
End the same.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll
worry about that for nothing.
All right. And when you say just pull one out of my mind, I can't.
I can't find the rest of the vocabulary either.
So I'm sure that there are. I'm sure in classical Greek, maybe if there's not in the New Testament, surely there is in classical. There are 5,436 words in the New Testament, different words. 3,000, some of those.
Counting forms?
No. Different words.
So 5,000 are whole vocabulary.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a very small.
That's right. But you consider that the average American, that's about the average American's vocabulary. It's about all.
Active vocabulary?
Right.
I'm sure most people know twice as many words to recognize easy. I'm sure 15,000 words.
No, I read some statistics. Journalist knows probably the most. The statistics said the average American knew about 5,000. A preacher or a lawyer, someone in that capacity, generally knew 10 to 12, and a journalist knew 20.
That's probably right, because the average American only has an eighth grade education, no matter how far they went while they were there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And then, I guess that means that ministers and lawyers are high school graduates. but that's, you see, now when I say ministers, you have to realize if you're going to be a minister in a denomination,
you're looking at 4 years of college and then six more. After it's like going to medical school, same thing. So.
Well, it's still it's a fairly small set of words to learn, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not that bad. Now, classical Greek is a different story. Yeah. The challenge of the New Testament is not the number as it is the content. There's where you really get the challenge. Okay, the other thing, pater, don't forget the syncopated, and look at the accent, and remember that vocative singular. That's what might throw you on pater. Pater, and it's not eta, it's epsilon.
It's a stem dot.
That's right. And don't forget also, I should say, nugs, and then you have the second and third forms, nugs, nuctas, nucti, nucta, nug. Look at that accent change. Don't forget that. Next lesson on your vowel stem nouns. The only thing that you might have trouble with will be this accent pistis pisteos. I don't think you will because I've kept hitting that in class.
To the general rules.
That's right. Of that particular general rule.
Yeah.
Pistis, pisteos, pisti, piston. And then you go to the...
Every time that they drop out the old, where the old word was, they will get two dots together, they diphthong, they can't.
Right.
They will.
Hirus, hireos, the same thing. Hirai, hirea, hiru. And I really don't know what... You just have to learn the forms. And genos, the only... Now here, remember, it's not... This is neuter, so the temptation would be to go genos, gena, alpha, but it's gene, all right, eta, right. So don't forget the eta. That would be an easy mistake to make.
That's a contraction of an epsilon plus something else.
Right.
An epsilon alpha or something. Genesa.
An epsilon alpha.
Genesa and then gena.
Yeah, it's...
Genesis.
The sigma dropped out and the epsilon alpha contracted to eta. Okay? Genesa. It's right there. That's good to be able to think that way. Okay. Any questions? Study hard. I'll have your test. It won't be hard. It'll be simple. But one thing I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start making your translation passages a little bit harder, a little bit longer. You all, the translation, I think, has been too simple, or is becoming too simple. Now, when we hit participles, then you're going to go back just a little bit, but it won't take you long, and you'll be back up, and so, but then we'll be ready to go into the New Testament.
Then we'll hit subjunctive, we'll back up again.
Well, yeah, but that won't be bad.
One rule of grace is you've got to return the last test before we'll accept the next.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm sorry I didn't bring him. I'll try to bring him. Well, I can't get mics to him. I'll bring him tomorrow night. I'll tell you what I'll do. Generally, after I've graded him, I'll bring him and I'm going to start putting him underneath this, right in here, graded test, right underneath this. So if you want to know if your test has been graded, it will be under here. If it's
folded with the grade on the inside and the name on the outside.
Pardon?
Folded with the grade on the inside and the name on the outside. Remember to preserve the integrity of the graded system.
Okay. When you make 98s, I wouldn't think you'd care. Yeah. Oh, well, generally I have a cover sheet on them. And the grade's on the inside.
Yeah, but the name's on the inside.
Okay, I'll write your name on the outside.
I don't care.
No.
Yeah. Or I'll fold them, one of the two. Yeah. Okay. Have a good week. Study hard. Enjoy.
It's getting more exciting the closer we get to being able to actually read stuff, you know?
Everything is ordered. I ordered it last Tuesday. Last Tuesday, I mean.
Pardon? When you look ahead, it's just lesson 29 that says translate 1 John.
And I had just bought that one book I told you about when I went to Princeton, and I've been using that some, like when I sit down to prepare for my Luke lecture. Sake Cubo.
It's the blue one.
The blue one that the Reader's Guide, Reader's Lexicon, Greek New Testament?
Reader's Lexicon, I understood it.
A Reader's Lexicon,
okay,
Greek New Testament. But you can just sit down and, after you know all the forms,
yeah,
and can recognize them, and you know, when you finish this grammar, you can do it. You just go down, and there'll be idioms, and you'll have to go slow at times. But the more you practice that, if you just keep that, and it only assumes, there's a list in the back of the book that assumes that you have learned 50, all the words that occur 50 times or more in the New Testament. So the first thing that I would have you do is we'll take a giant vocabulary test over those words.
It almost seems like he's involved in summers, because when I look at it, the only words I couldn't read in 1 Thessalonians he had there. I mean, it was the words that I got to, I didn't know, were the words that he had there, and he didn't have any words I didn't know.
He has most of those. Now, there are some that he won't have, just because there are more words in that list than
Still, it's pretty close. Most of the words that I interpreted trying to read Thessalonians were exactly the step that I found in his list there for 6 months.
So it will be, you'll be just about ready on that, and then you'll have to learn the beginning, the vocabulary to each book, the special vocabulary to each book. You memorize that, take a vocabulary test over that, and then you start the book. So what we can do, if you want, is we can just go right through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, because that's the vocabulary is simple, and maybe even if you want, it'd be a good idea to start on John.
We can start right now, really, right?
The only problem is, you haven't had participles, and you haven't had the subjunctive imperative.
And perfect.
And contract.
And me verbs.
And me verbs, yeah.
And so these pronouns.
The pronouns aren't that big a thing, but the others are.
Yeah.
So when you get to lesson 31, you'll be in good shape. Then it will be fun.
10 weeks, maybe months.
Yeah, just 2 months. You think about that in terms of when you started, that's quite an accomplishment. So,
for you, it is active in less than a year. That's cool.
And we only meet once a week.
Yeah.
That's really something.
And you only stay 27 hours a week, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, you probably stay on me for my bond degree classes. All the time I have is not a whole lot.
I have more time than I've spent studying for Greek. Sorry to say. I could put more into it, more out of it.
But you're...